you fear the zombie uprising? Are you prepared to survive what's coming? If you listen very carefully, you might just make it out alive. This is Zompocalypse Now.
My favorite thing to do craft wise, stitching. I love hand stitching. It's so relaxing. So listeners, if you can't fucking contain your excitement about how good these episodes are, you might try hand stitching something.
I just like how everything was neatly resolved and everyone just worked everything out at the end. A little surprising. Not what you expect from the Walking Dead universe, but
that's not what happens.
Honestly, guys, I've been to worse job interviews. You know, I mean, they wanted him and they went for it. Like,
where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
Do you develop teams easily?
Hi, folks. This is the Zompocalypse Now podcast. I am Timothy Harvey, and we are discussing episode 6 of Dead City. Gentlemen, who are you?
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Curtis.
The name of this episode is Domo Smo.
Is it Latin?
Croatian for something.
Oh.
For the best episode of the season. I mean,
with one exception, one scene I could have lived without, but we'll get to it.
Right. It was really good. I loved it.
I'm very satisfied with it. I think this season, this portion of this season was very artfully done, actually. The cinematography had some, I guess they had some time to think about it. So, you know, there's a lot of cool cinematography and editing effects and things like that. That's my general review, but we should pick this thing apart like it's a one of those fruits.
Luckily, this episode sets it up so we can go really chronologically. We get Pokey out of the way, we get little teenage Dubby out of the way, and then we can just like bang all the way through. It's really easy this episode. They set it up for me.
Early on, I was like, I think the reason these episodes work so well is we're not trying to follow four different groups of people.
Yeah.
I mean, not trying hard anyway.
No.
They still have been kind of going with the three different parts.
Yeah.
Three different story parts.
They have to try and sell somebody. They have to try. And they're trying hard to decide between Pokey and Teenage Bitch because those two are the ones that they keep trying to poke at us with, but really they're missing what the third really, really should be. And that is the Croat, because he is the best. He's the best. And I want him to become a hero on this show. I want him to be running the ice cream parlor and I want it to be glorious. But we start luckily with Pokey, and Pokey drops Teenage Bitch off at the Bricks, and it's just like super easy. She like gets out of the car and they're like, hey, welcome home, and he just like is able to pull away, like leave her, just drop her off, she's fine here, it's gonna be okay.
And he's like, she's going to school,
right? And he even does the like, oh, your jacket, and like, they're like,
that jacket,
I don't need that jacket, whatever. And then the rest we see of her is just like background shots of her looking pensive. But we don't need to worry about her anymore. And then Pokey goes to his colony, which is bordered by hanging walker corpses that are like still alive, dead walkers just hanging there.
What's it, New Babylon?
Yeah. Which is really, honestly, was a bad sign from the beginning. We should have discussed it 6 episodes ago when the place was called New Babylon. But that is bad foreshadowing. That this place is horrible. And so he gets like completely interrogated by the leader of the colony and threatened, his daughter's threatened if he like leaves anything out. And it turns out they're not interested in whether or not Negan is alive anymore, but they want to hear about the methane. They want to run Border Town.
This is clearly designed to reinforce this idea of an upcoming conflict between the forces of New York City
and at least two settlements that we know of, the Bricks, right, and New Babylon. And Pokey got to see the difference when the teenage bitch got dropped off. They were like, oh, babe, so great to see you. Come on in. Bye, random stranger that brought her here. And when he got to his own home, he got interrogated and threatened.
Yep.
Which really shows the juxtaposition, and I think we get to see him realize it. Oh, shit.
What we still don't really have is any, aside from the fact that the leadership is terrible. Welcome to The Walking Dead, folks. Everybody's leadership is terrible. But we still don't really know anything about their society. We've seen like a room that they're in. We've seen a bar. We've seen a motel. We don't know anything about this community, aside from the fact that it's got a really terrible name. And the people who run it are clearly power hungry lunatics, which again,
the justice system's really weird.
They got to have all this, they got to have all those resources so they can make their fucking cigars.
Right. Yeah. Look, The Walking Dead has long had a problem with pretty much everybody other than Rick's group, which none of them, everybody else is a terrible government. It's just how it works. We're not getting any difference here. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if New Babylon had just turned out to be a bunch of really nice people?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they've got some harsh laws, but look, we've had to have harsh laws because it's just a dangerous world. But
it's the zombie apocalypse, kind of.
But, you know, we're really trying to do our best and be really nice, but no, that's not what we get. They have to be corrupt and dangerous. Oh, well.
It's a fun thought experiment to ruminate on whether or not there would be a society, or how long would their attempts last, you know, all that. It's good thought experiment.
And we discover later in this episode, that Maggie's government isn't really any better because their leader has been clearly obsessed, driven by one goal, subconsciously, since the forming of the government.
Well, but she's not the only person running things, and she hasn't been building that as a focus for their existence. I mean, she moved Hilltop and turned it into the Bricks without dealing with Negan at any point. And that was, you know, our heroes tend to have councils full of well-meaning individuals who are backed up by people with sharp objects. But they're all, you know, generally speaking, well-intentioned and without, they don't have personal ambition. Like they're not seeking out power. Right.
Yeah.
And every single other community we've ever encountered in the Walking Dead universe, somebody in charge wants more power. They want more land. They want more resources. They want more. They just want more, and they're willing to take it. So
I think that's a mental illness in itself. I really do. These people who are just total ambition all the time. You know.
Well, you know my theory.
No, I don't.
My zombie virus theory. You know. It was discovered way back in like episode 3 of the initial show that we all have the zombie virus. Mm. You don't have to be killed by a walker to turn into a walker. It just everyone does now. When you die, you turn into a walker. So you have to be careful with people and make sure that they're taken care of. because you never know when somebody might die, and then you have a walker on your hands. So you have to be diligent, even with each other. So my theory was, since we all have the virus already in our brain, that that just exacerbated whatever mental illness we had, just lying dormant or whatever. So, you know, Rick became a paranoid schizophrenic, and maybe he wasn't before, but he was just like moody or whatever, but he went completely bonkers in the zombie apocalypse. Negan didn't, you know, wasn't a sociopath before, not really, but now that he's got the zombie virus, it exacerbated those problems.
I love this theory so much. I do.
And so everybody's mental illness is showing on the surface, which they might not have had before.
Okay, no, like, I haven't seen anyone.
Fucking Herschel's like... mommy issues are just like bubbling over the surface.
And, somebody's, you know, got to have like severe OCD.
Yeah.
And it's just been flipping a light switch on and off for the past 9 years.
Mm. But yeah, you know, so that's my theory. That's why everybody's decision making is so crazy.
I like it. It's I like it. I wonder if that's in the show Bible.
Who knows?
There's no show Bible.
It's Dustin's theory, so they probably don't even know about it. They're one of the sevens of listeners. Bethany. Bethany, if you're out there, we love you.
I don't know. This show might actually have a show Bible. there might actually be. There's a fair amount of it all holding together so far.
Well, I mean, they got basically the same rules as Batman. Batman doesn't lose.
Yeah.
You know, but no, Batman doesn't die or lose. Well, yeah.
Batman loses all the time. He just doesn't stay the loser.
Yeah. He eventually wins. That's I think our plucky little plucky heroes in this show. They never lose, but they're always fucked. Constantly fucked, but never lost.
Well, except this show is built on the entire premise that one of our heroes lost completely. And that, of course, is the whole reason why Maggie has her hate on for Negan, is because he, you know, Glenn's very dead.
Yeah.
Glenn did not succeed.
He's really most sincerely dead.
And really, all of us thinking that she should be over it, it's true. If she can't get over it, she can't get over it. You know,
I loved it when he said, and you can't get over it, long beat, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to that scene later, but this show, they're teasing us with the final moments of the show, but this show has spent the entire run basically saying, yes, Negan is very good at being a theatrical monster, but that's not who he is. And at every single turn, any question that they have tried to raise in the past, that Negan is just one moment away from turning back into his time like he was when he led the Saviors, this show is undermining that at every single turn.
Right. And it has been for a while.
Right, but I mean, this is like there was all these different things hyped up at various points in the, you know, when the show is being talked about and before it even aired, and all the trailers. We got the scene where, you know, you see, we had this scene in the episode where Maggie and Negan are fighting each other with knives, and it's all meant to give you the impression that Negan's gone back to his evil ways,
mm-hmm.
and yet he is consistently being displayed throughout this as someone who is at core a good person.
Right. And he didn't start the Saviors being like, let's become megalomaniacs. He started the Saviors to save people, to help them. And, you know, what grew out of that was poison, but, you know, that had a lot of different factors to it.
Yeah, like a zombie virus.
Right.
Well, and he's clearly someone who enjoys being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
which is both a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah, I think for a while he was enjoying the portrayal of this Negan person, this I am Negan person, and
yeah,
and it's like, you know, you did a show and you really liked the show, and then 2 years later somebody wants you to do it again. It's like, I don't fucking know, man. I mean, that was fun, but God, I don't want.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. More of an electro pop funk situation now.
Yes, exactly.
It's, you know, the thing I didn't mention, I don't know, two or three episodes ago was, I thought that the, when they got into the like arena, mm-hmm. if you remember in Batman and Robin, no, the one with Batgirl, that was Batman and Robin. Batgirl yeah. comes across all these fucking neon appointed, I don't know, skater hockey players. That it reminded me of that. Everything was fucking blacklit. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that.
So where are we even?
I don't know.
I don't even remember.
Oh, we're starting with Maggie and Negan now.
Oh, right. So Maggie and Negan are walking along, and Negan keeps asking her all these pointed questions about, oh, how long has Jane been here, and who is Captain Tennille, and why are ponies blue, and stuff like that, to make you realize that, oh, no, he's figured it out.
Okay, hold on. We did skip ahead here because we didn't actually talk about the fact that before we got our annoying teenager and our useless lawman off the island, we had the confrontation between the kid and Negan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because, yeah. I forgot about that.
The whole she came looking for him is his reaction is not. Oh, thank goodness, someone's come to save me. His whole reaction is, what the holy hell are you doing here? I left you somewhere safe. And you came to this hellhole, and how are you still alive? None of this makes any sense. You should be zombie chow. But
right,
he's like, you've got to go. And she speaks. And she's like, Negan's like, no.
You do. She doesn't even get a sentence out. And he's like, fuck you. You going to talk now?
It's like, fuck you. You do not get to pull this shit. And then he looks at her.
Shut your fucking mouth.
And then he looks at her and says, I killed your father.
All right.
Yeah, that was heavy. It was heavy.
And the question is whether or not that's true.
It's true.
It was the old putting Ben in the bear trap situation.
I think it's probably true, but this is all Negan is also very, very good at manipulating people. And I would not put it past him for him to lie to her to make her leave. Mm. But he probably did kill her father because.
Well, I mean, that was part of the five people he killed in New Babylon.
Right. So, and it would make sense that Negan would sit there and go, oh shit, this guy's got a kid and someone's got to take care of the kid.
Might as well be the guy that murdered her dad, not like a friend of the family.
Well, but we also remember that Negan found her. He didn't find her on his own. He found this couple that she was staying with. So how much this is true is, you know, it probably is. It's the Walking Dead universe. But she's like, oh, well, fine. And then the marshal's like, come on, let me get the target out of the firing zone.
Right.
I mean, look, she's very, very good at staying alive. This is a plus. I mean, I will always remember her paddling
the cooler
Include cooler or whatever,
because I thought that was just a thing that was kind of amazing. But in this situation, she's more at risk than almost any other character on this show, and she should be where she's safe or safer. So whether it's true or not, Negan did the right thing here. She's going to come back next season. She's just going to make, she's a teenager. She doesn't do what she's told.
Mm-hmm.
She and Herschel are going on an adventure.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that little shit.
No.
Oh, okay, guys. Do you not see this coming? Look, we'll get to this later too, but Herschel and the Dama have been like bonding in a really creepy way. He's going to want to go back to New York, and he's going to sneak out, and she's going to follow him, and we're going to have Muppet Babies Take Manhattan, and it's going to be terrible. It's going to happen next season. That's my prediction. You're welcome.
Okay.
I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's awful, but I think it's going to happen.
Well, Herschel, we're going to have to see Herschel again. I'm not thrilled about it. That motherfucker is going to grumpy himself into an early grave.
No one understands me. I feel like we could have avoided making Herschel just the worst mopiest teen. Teenagers are teenagers, but their brains aren't finished cooking, and we were all stupid as teenagers.
I had my brain on a slow roast for 30 years now. Now can we start on Maggie and Negan?
Yes.
Now that go ahead. Do it.
Oh, yeah. They're walking through the thing, and Negan's all asking the pointed questions, like you said, and then
Maggie
figures out that he's figured it out, and then she tries to kill him, and he's like, fuck you, and runs away. And then,
they have a knife fight.
Yeah, get a knife fight, which is great. And I'm like, Maggie, did you completely forget you know how to throw knives really, really well? God. And
when did the superpowers kick in? Like, they, you know, throw themselves through walls and off cliffs and like.
Yeah, they were scooting around on soft. Get up right up in the rafters, you know, chasing each other.
Maggie takes a fall that people do not just get right back up from.
Right.
I don't know. She fell on some industrial padding that's designed for stunt people. Had a tarp over it, but you can kind of tell what it's
called. Right. But.
Because when Negan jumps down after, he sinks in like 6 inches. It does. I mean, it's not like he's on like a pile of boxes.
Right.
But yeah, old Maggie stabs the shit out of Negan, though, before he kicks her off. That's what makes him kick her off. And then he goes after her, and she, I don't know, she gets the upper hand, and then the people show up, and Negan has a small monologue.
Before we get to that,
yeah,
before we talk about the thing, I have to bring up the Croat's helmet. Oh, it's so good. It's so out of Mad Max. Razor blades on it or something.
Yeah, and saw blades. And
he looks so happy to see Negan. It is so cute.
I went through my head on how to make one of those. And I don't think there's a way to do it where you hit something and the thing just comes back into the helmet and cuts you in the head. I think that's the way that works. But, yeah. It was pretty terrible, but I saw that. I saw that before, though, because he was headbutting all the zombies.
I'm surprised we haven't had more Mad Max kind of stuff happening on.
Oh, it's so Nick such Earth. A delightful homage. It's just so cute.
Yeah, it is. But Negan has a monologue, and he's like, "I get it. You're never going to get over me, and you shouldn't."
Right.
And that's basically that one. But it was so good. It was one of many great monologues tonight. With the exception of one.
True that
we jumped over a monologue because we didn't talk about Maggie's Macy monologue. Apparently, that's a tongue twister. Where I'm pretty sure that Macy's closed.
No.
Macy's is still open. Nordstrom's, I think, closed.
Okay.
One of the other ones. I don't know. Maybe it was JCPenney.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, they're still around. But it's another 2-minute monologue
about meeting the real Santa Claus.
I was going to go there and we were going to be friends and he was going to give me all my toys back.
And this is a follow-up to Negan's monologue about the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Which wasn't very long. That happened several episodes ago. Episode 1 or 2. So she's having this monologue. They're standing by a window and she goes, and it's right there.
Right.
And it's shot out the window and there's the store. It's a very inconsequential monologue. It doesn't really, it's not any like big revelation. It's not like, but it's actually, I thought it was kind of effective for giving you a sense of then and now in contrast, right? The before the fall and after the fall, which is really, really kind of easy to gloss over at this point in the show when we've got these settlements, right? That are the rebuilding. And one of the things that this show has been able to do is show that there is still huge places that are the old, crumbled, pre-zombie world.
Right.
And because New York is so dense with buildings, they're all over the place. But here's an iconic thing. You know, here's the Statue of Liberty. Here's this ancient theater. Here's Macy's, right? So
I think they got their Statue of Liberty effect from that movie AI. It's like 1,000 years in the future.
I don't know. It's a monologue that doesn't really accomplish anything aside from being almost a little mood piece.
It was Maggie reading the script the day of and like, where the fuck's my monologue? I got to listen to this little shit for 5 minutes. I want one too.
Well, she gets a good one later too with her.
Yeah, in fact, fuck it. Give me 2 monologues. It's the Maggie.
Everybody's got to have a motivation.
Well, okay, then they're captured.
Right.
Yeah, they're captured.
Captured is really the wrong word.
They surrendered, but
yeah,
they kind of surrendered, but Maggie's got a knife to Negan's throat, so it's not 100%.
Right. And the Croat does more pick me stuff. Wouldn't it be funny if we kissed right now? Like, all over Negan.
Well, he also reminds us that he is kind of the villain in that he's like, for a moment I thought I have the kid and Negan. Why don't I just keep both of them? And the look on Maggie's face is like, oh shit. But this follows him looking at her and basically saying, God, you are easily manipulated. Because he's like, I heard all about the fall of the saviors and this woman, the widow.
Right.
And what happened to her? He's like, I figured out your buttons. And then I came in and went, push, push, push. And here you are bringing me what I want. And
Negan addresses this earlier when he was like, we could have done this together. If you had been honest with me, we could have, like, none of this would have to be happening. But you wanted this confrontation. You want us to be enemies. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's got this look on her face when the Croat is talking where she's, like, very aware she has been played.
Right.
And has been, well, played isn't the right word. Used. Used is the right word.
Right. So then she gets Herschel back. A very tense standoff scene because you're not sure who's going to get what. And Negan says to Herschel, like, good to see you, little sporty sport. And it's, a little awkward, but whatever.
Apparently they became Herschel in a vault.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you? That kid is awful.
I would presume you would not keep them in a vault because he'd run out of air.
Well, really, he's been staying with the Doma, remember?
Right. Yeah, I know. But, and he's like so excited to see mom.
Yeah, you could knock him over with a feather.
God, he's terrible.
He's like,
that ungrateful little fuck.
Right.
Like, he doesn't say it, but his whole attitude is like, can you not?
I just wanted to grab him by the throat and say, do you know what your fucking mom had to go through to get you? You stupid like, little
whatever.
Fuck. Right.
Whatever, man. Whatever.
Just make it about me, all right?
Oh, Mom, you're so embarrassing.
Why are you always having to rescue me, damn it?
If you just listen to my music, you would understand.
So, you know, Maggie tries to patch things up with him, and it does not in any way work. And later, she is snooping through his things, as a good mother does, and finds all of the stuff about New York that the DOMA has given him or allowed him to have, including a very creepy image of her.
Yeah, little drawings that he made.
Right.
Yeah, it was a very flattering drawing of her, because that woman's got more wrinkles than a 300-year-old saddle. God, can I get a do-over?
Sure.
Okay, that woman's got more wrinkles than... She's very wrinkly. I give up. I got nothing.
She's very creepy. This is a creepy woman.
She's a super creepy woman. And she's like a Halloween.
Not a flattering picture. Yeah. So Maggie makes a decision that she is going to end this thing with Negan once and for all. Like, she can't keep living this way because it's like this huge button for her. She tries to run this community base that she can, but as soon as she has an opportunity to mess with him, she has to take it. It's like a pathology. And she knows that he's right, that if she had gone to him and been like, hey, this guy is looking for you, and he took my son, and he wants me to bring you him. I don't know why, but I bet we can turn this. And he would have agreed. But she didn't do that because she wants this to happen. She wants to be his antagonist.
Well, it's easier.
Can you imagine the guilt you would feel if you suddenly sided with the person who killed the one person you loved in your life?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I think it really is. She feels like it's a betrayal to forgive him. The world is big enough for the two of them. They just don't need to be around each other.
Right.
And she would benefit greatly from never encountering Negan again.
But their stories are intrinsically linked now.
Right.
Their fates are intertwined.
I mean, narratively, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, it's a plenty big world. These are two people who don't... Well, and Negan even tried to make it happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to be away from her and out of her life. And she tracked him down anyway. So... And ultimately, I think that she would, if she killed Negan, I think she'd probably tear herself up about it.
Right.
Oh, we're going to learn that lesson we always learn at the end of revenge stories, where revenge doesn't fix anything.
Right.
Right.
You're still you.
And the person you're avenging is still dead.
Yeah. It's like how people think vacations are going to change them. Mm-hmm. No, you're still going to be sad in Italy. I think Adam Sandler.
Yeah, but you're in Italy. You're sat in a new place. See, that's an improvement sometimes. So, yeah. So, she realizes she has to go back and resolve this with Negan, which means she's got to go back to New York,
right? Which means Herschel, bitchy teen bitch, is gonna go, and
Herschel's gonna hide under a tarp. All the kids have to hide under a tarp.
But don't worry, our Marshall's going to come back too. So it'll be a reunion. Everyone will be there.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Marshall's going to come back and go, hey, Negan, you're going to need to know some stuff.
I don't know.
You know, I try to get that. These guys are fucking loony.
I don't know. When the evil leader of your community knows your children by name and invites herself to dinner, you might choose the methane.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the reason she had so many heavies in the room, because, you know, people are more apt to just fucking kill you once you reveal yourself as a threat, just right away. Mm-hmm. That's what was on Negan's mind during his little interview.
Right.
She's a threat. And we had, and we foreshadowed that early in the episode, which is what I thought is when the Croatian dude explains how he realizes now that he became a threat and had to be eliminated, and he promised he would never do it again. But then here's this lady announcing herself as a threat to Negan. She's a threat, and she'll be eliminated soon.
I don't know. I think that is going to be a very important working relationship for Negan, whether he likes it or not. She is not going to be played with.
Oh, yeah, but she's sequestered, so he's going to kill her and not tell anybody.
No, there's this whole weird dynamic thing going on here.
She's going to die.
Well, sure, she's going to die.
In six episodes, she's going to die.
She's the villain of a Walking Dead show. She's going to die. That's what they do.
That's exactly right. On the last episode, she gets what's coming to her.
We established that the Croat is like this, you know, psychotic torturer villain
he's not even the Voss level villain. He's like mid tier.
Everybody's terrified of him in New York. They're all like, he's the scary one. And he's like, it's just like getting mommy and daddy back together. And it's like, whoa, hang on. And his whole interaction with Negan is like, he really wants Negan to be proud of him.
Right.
He really
insane. He is like legit crazy pants.
He is functional. He is insane, but functional.
Right.
Which is not great for anyone else. But he's also so very much in the palm of the Doma's hands. I mean,
right. He's a simp.
And that whole bit where he takes Negan to see her and he's like, so let's talk. And she's like, you can go now. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Your presence is no longer required.
And the look on his face and the fact that he is going to be the one that he's going to star scream her so bad.
He's going to become a spy and, you know.
Oh, no, he's going to have his own power play, and he's going to be upset that Negan has taken the place, her affections. He has been abandoned once again by those he loves, and it will be everyone must die in fire, and then it'll blow up New York.
Oh, I want to see New York go up so bad. Wait. Oh, I guess in Walking Dead universe, the towers would have fell there too.
Yeah. I'd be interested in this being more of like a political Game of Thrones sort of situation where, you know, now it's up to Negan to try and unite the boroughs.
The plot here is that the Doma wants Negan to be the king. So I heard so much about all the fine work you did with the saviors. Come. Be the face of my administration, because you're good with the theater. And she does that, you know, she describes the whole thing in the bank. And she's like, bravo. Lovely performance. Fine work. And the look on Negan's face, Negan's trying to do the tough guy thing.
He's bemused.
But he kind of discovers that she's like, you know, I know where all the people you care about live.
Right.
I mean,
I can go and get them.
If you're going to do what I want, serve my purposes, or just kill people. I mean, it's a real simple equation. Drink your fucking brandy.
Right. Because he can take scotch. You want scotch.
The gin.
The gin or whatever.
Man.
Yeah.
He's a gin man. I would have put him as more of a whiskey guy.
That's why I said scotch.
Your guy.
I think he was trying to get at her. I think that he said that because, like, if you think about what she has, which is, it was a brandy.
Brandy.
And gin at the time was considered like lowbrow to drink. And so that was deliberate placing of drinks. Okay. I think.
All right.
I mean, well, yeah, she's very much coming across. She's in this room full of books and art, and she's very cultured, and it's sort of this, she's making a, well, she's establishing a power structure. She's mm-hmm. like, you are coming to work for me. And
right.
And I am in charge.
I'll give you free reign as long as you do what I say.
Right. And Negan's like, I am my own man. And she's like, well, but are you really? Because you care about people, and this is a problem for you, not for me. And no, but it's also, it's also Negan kind of being given a gift because he tried with the saviors and it went wrong.
Yeah, maybe he can do it better this time.
And I mean,
he's learned from several different communities.
Right.
You know, he's got a lot of experience in building and maintaining communities. And he's got different ideas of what to do and not to do now. So maybe this is a real gift. Like, it's going to be awesome.
However, this is a show that thrives on conflict. So it's all going to go.
At the same time. Yeah, it's at the same time Maggie is coming in like, I'm going to kill you or you're going to kill me or somebody's going to, I don't know, we're going to figure it out. And then he's got to figure out which borough he's going to approach next.
Right.
If they kiss, I will be vindicated. I've been saying that they're going to kiss. They're going to kiss.
See, I mean, I just, Negan and Maggie, on one level, I completely get why people want to see that. Because it's, you know, it's resolving.
Well, they're idiots is why.
Well, if, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, these are two attractive people. There's sexual tension. It's a grand theme in this kind right. of story where, you know, they have reason to hate each other, but they're drawn together, and finally their love heals each other. We've seen this before.
I don't want that.
No, I don't either. I was very fine with how the main show ended with their relationship, which is, we're never going to be pals, but go live your life.
Right.
I was fine with that. That worked. So.
And 5 or 6 years passed since then. And the only reason she went after him was because of the Croat.
Yeah.
But she didn't hesitate for a second to lie to him and manipulate him when she didn't need to.
Right.
So. The truth would have been just as good of a motivator. In fact, maybe even a better motivator.
But because of her anger towards him, she couldn't even consider the possibility of being truthful.
Right.
This is why they should never be a couple, and why it's just, they're, like he said, they are better together because they're very effective.
But right.
That doesn't make them friends. I mean, the closest they are allies, and that's fine. Not every relationship needs to be a romance,
right?
It's blissful to me that this show doesn't focus on romance. It's like when Rick and Michonne got together, they just showed them together one day. I mean, and then we didn't need to see all of the bullshit. They just got together.
Oh, but now we're getting their series where the power of love will help, I don't know, do things, take down governments and save the world.
I wish them luck.
I just want to see Michonne stab stuff.
Yeah. God, she's probably chomping at the bit for this series.
By Marvel.
Well, she's, you know, she can do what she wants now. She's got that Marvel money.
Wait, what'd she get Marvel money for?
The Black Panther movies.
Oh, and okay.
Avengers movies.
Word.
Yeah, so that's what the end of this. That's the end of this first season of the show. I overall enjoyed this.
Yeah, I love that it culminated with, this was all a job interview. Welcome, you passed. I really like that. I thought that was just chef's kiss.
And we have a villain whose argument isn't, I want to kill everybody. I want to take over all these places. It's, people are coming for our resources. We have to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. I needed someone to be my general. She's not your typical Walking Dead villain. And that's okay.
Right. She's very methodical and truthful in a way that Negan is, but she's also ruthless in a way that he is no longer.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, she's chopping off kids' toes. That's a conversation I'm curious if we're going to get a flashback to. You know, it's the whole, so, Herschel, thank you for this lovely sketch you made of me. So, I'd like you to take off your shoes. Thank you. Put your foot up here. All right. Now, I guess these are shears. No, it's going to be okay. Whoa.
Lebowski needs a pinky toe, so... if you don't mind.
Well, I think it would have to be one of the middle ones, but it's probably the big toe.
I don't know. It's a body part chopped off. That's never good.
Right.
I imagine it's still weird to walk without a pinky toe.
You know, my mother was in a motorcycle accident before I was born, and her left big toe was squished off in her boot. And so she has lived almost all of her life without half of her big toe. And she used to waggle it at us and stuff like that.
I'm going to touch you with my stump.
Yeah. We play with it. It was, you know, goofy to have a mom with half a toe.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a guy in our school who used to terrify us when we were like in elementary school. We were very young and immature, you know. But this guy was in a terrible fire, and he had a horrible wig, and his whole body was burnt just to a crisp at some point, because he was scarred like Freddy Krueger, man. And he had this one hand where all the fingers got burned off, so it was just like this big ball club thing, and he would threaten to touch us with it. And we would run and be all like, you're a freak, and we were mean as fuck to him, and I don't know what he's doing now. I hope he's okay. But I seen him hit a kid with it one time, and that kid said that hurt like a motherfucker. It was like getting hit with a ball bat. I was like, you're so lucky that you know that.
And the endorphins you got from it.
Oh, man. But anyway, if you're listening, dude, and you're not, but you know who you are. Sorry, bud. That was mean.
And if this show has done nothing, it's enabled Curtis to apologize, which is, yes, which is good.
I'm in a 79-step program. Because 12 ain't fucking enough.
No kidding. Right.
I need more steps.
I mean, this is our first real spinoff from The Walking Dead that is spinning off from the main show after it's come to an end, right? I mean, Fear the Walking Dead is coming to an end. World Beyond is a thing that apparently happened. Tales of the Walking Dead, all this, you know, these things. This is our first real continuation of the story, right? This is the
right,
and I think so far this is good. I mean, we also thought the first season of The Walking Dead was really good too. And then they had the second season, and we were like, what is happening? And so this could all go awry next season, but so far so good. I'm actually enjoying this. The actors are good. The villains are interesting, and the world they're building is not the same one that we were dealing with The Walking Dead. So that's good. We've got Daryl Dixon coming up.
Monsieur Daryl Dixon.
That'll be interesting because it's a very much a departure from what we've had. Whole new continent and everything. And apparently a good chunk of it's going to be in French. So,
oh, that's bon.
Which is fine. It's set in France. That only seems appropriate. As Daryl lone wolves and cubs across France, or Last of Us's across France, or whatever their quest with a teenager plot that The Walking Dead seems to be going with lately. So, but yeah, looking forward to
it. They're realizing that we're like the oldest people who watch this show is what it is. No one is older than us because it's all kids now. And they're like, well, we got to put in some stupid assholes for those guys to relate to.
Entirely possible.
Selfish little cunts to make them feel better about themselves.
Herschel's addicted to his mom too, and she's helping him survive the zombie apocalypse.
Hey, wrap her up. We're done.
Yeah, we're done. All right. So we will see what season two brings. We will get the return of Fear the Walking Dead on the way with the return of Troy.
No.
Who was Troy?
Did Madison beat him to death with a hammer like 8 seasons ago and blew up a dam on top of him, and now he's back to wreak his revenge?
Oh, the thing is that Dustin and I loved that scene so much because it was Madison just being the psycho bitch that she is, and we loved about her, and Troy had it coming, and he was so clearly dead in that scene. She killed him with a hammer.
It's going to be a flashback. They're just teasing you with that shit.
Nope. The footage that has been released is him post. It is in the modern day. He's facing off against Strand. He shows someone his eye and says, he goes, "Does it's not pretty, but that's what happens sometimes when he beats you in the head with a hammer." And it's like, okay, well, there we go. Because the world is only 5 square miles across.
Yeah.
And he tracked Madison down somehow.
I hear stories out east where there's a woman that's drowning babies at night. Oh, that sounds like Madison. East, you say. Off I go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'll come up with some explanation, but you know,
honestly, there's a witch that lives out by the lake.
Fear the Walking Dead hasn't made a lick of sense in several seasons now, so this is not the worst possible thing that could happen. I mean, for God's sakes, it had a nuclear war a season ago. Anyway, all right, so that's enough. We'll see what comes down the line for the Walking Dead universe, because that's what we do. And we appreciate you guys listening. It's a pleasure to see our numbers look as good as they are. We appreciate you guys. It's very nice. If you are interested in supporting the show, you can find us on Patreon. You can support the show by checking out the Outbreak Challenge and supporting that, saving some money on that game, fitness game. And let us know what you think.
Like, comment on our shit, damn it.
Give us
love. Hey, if you join Patreon, you can call me and we'll chat about the show if you want.
So a lot of podcasts have Discord channels. I will happily set up a Discord to talk to the fans. If you're interested in doing that, we will happily have that for you guys if you want. So if you're interested, let us know. We'll set that up. You can tune in and talk to each other and do all those fun things. Anyway, we appreciate it and we hope you're enjoying the show. Gentlemen, thank you as always. Thank you, Dustin.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you, Tim.
And again, folks, thanks for listening, and we will see you on our next episode of Zompocalypse Now. Zompocalypse Now is produced and recorded by Timothy Harvey, Dustin Adair, and Curtis Smith for Just Some Guy Productions. All rights reserved.